Hello, this is Pastor Trent. I want to welcome you to the Mountain Home Church, the Nazarene Sermon Podcast. We are thrilled that you are tuning in to hear sermons from our ministries here at our church. It is our hope that the Spirit of Christ would be present with you as you listen today. I do want to take just a moment to invite you to reach out and connect with us. On our website, we have a way for you to do just that. You can visit www.mhnazarene.org/connect and fill out a very brief form. There's a spot to leave contact info, ask questions, and even to request prayer. Also, be sure to indicate that you listen to us through our SoundCloud podcast to let us know where you're listening. May the Lord be with you this day. Grace and peace to you.
What a good day to gather in the Lord's house, amen? What a good day to offer our praises and worship up to the Lord in heaven as we sing Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And Palm Sunday is always pretty incredible, pretty special. When I was weekly formulating worship services, Palm Sunday was one of those days that, like, you just got to just pour it all out, just leave it all out there, and open up the floodgates of worship to really have a sense of joining in on that day when the people in Jerusalem saw and honored and treated Christ the way he deserved, right? I mean, not that he wanted, and he wouldn't have ever allowed it. He, in fact, a lot of times when people wanted to make a big deal of Jesus, he's like, okay, so keep a lid on this, and let's not tell anybody, and let's be quiet, and we don't have to... I have to talk about this. Tell no one, sometimes he says, tell no one what happened. But this day he said, I'm headed into Jerusalem. And he saw the crowds and he didn't turn away. And they waved palm branches and laid their cloaks in front of him. And he said, let this day be what it will be. And today we get to join. So thanks for waving the palms. I saw somebody who didn't get a palm that was pretending he had a palm. And that was awesome. So yes, I did see you, and that's just fantastic. Because we don't need palms. We don't need palms to worship God. There's no expected way of behavior that says this is the way to worship God. And that's why we love it when people stand. We love it when people sit. We love it when people come to the altar in the middle of worship to kneel and to pray and to pour their hearts out to God. There's no prescribed fashion of worship in this place or in any place. Amen? Like, we get that, right? And so there's just grace in this place. So I'm going to do something today and Friday that I've never done before. And if I hadn't said anything, you might not have noticed, which just cracks me up to say. But it seems significant for me. I'm going to preach from the same passage today and from Good Friday. It won't be the same sermon in any way, but it will be the same passage. That will definitely be focused on different portions of this same passage. But it's kind of a short three-verse passage, and it contains two of the statements of Jesus that he spoke from the cross. And if you've been with us for the last several weeks, or maybe you haven't been with us for the last several weeks, over the course of Lent, during the season of Lent, we have focused on the statements that Jesus has made from the cross, the words that he spoke as recorded in the four different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so in this short passage of three verses, we contain two of them. So I will cover one of them today, and I'll cover another of them on Good Friday, Friday, 7 p.m. Would love to have you back here. It's going to be a significant moment in our worship experience this week. Also on Sunday, sunrise service at 7, normal service at 10. We have baptisms involved in that service. Afterwards, kids of all ages, starting with the younger ones now, but kids of all ages, there'll be a egg hunt out on the grass across the parking lot. So come, invite a friend, invite a neighbor. People are uniquely receptive to invitations to church this week. They are uniquely receptive, that's the word I use, to invitations to church this week. So let's take advantage of that, huh? Let's invite somebody to join us next week. And then, like, like meet them out in the parking lot so they don't have to come into this scary place all by themselves, because you create that safe space for them. And that'd be awesome. Today we're turning to John chapter 19. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to that chapter. If you have devices, you can point them in that direction. John chapter 19. Again, this is a short passage I'll be reading today from the Common English, verses 28 through 30. For those who are willing and able, out of respect for the reading of God's word, would you please stand as we read together from John chapter 19. After this, knowing that everything was already completed, in order to fulfill the scripture, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was nearby, so the soldiers soaked a sponge in it, placed it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. When he had received the sour wine, Jesus said, "It is completed." Bowing his head, he gave up his life. This is the word of God given to us, the people of God. We say, thanks be to God. Palm Sunday really is a festive day in the life of the church for those that follow Jesus, for those that have followed him their whole lives, or those who are just newly walking with him. Palm Sunday ought to be the day that we ramp up the praise. The one day that I also was particularly concerned about in this sermon series. So have this great day of celebrating Jesus, and then we're going to talk about what he said from the cross. I mean, it's fun to wave palm branches and to shout Hosanna. Praise is certainly easier than lament. But part of our task, part of our journey this week and through the season of Lent has been to lament the realities that Jesus did hang from the cross, and that in those moments he uttered words that probably mean a lot if he went through the effort to speak them while he was on the cross. And this is a critical and important day of praise for Jesus and for those of us who are faithful in following after Jesus. We cannot miss the importance of this day. It's why we've sung Hosanna, why we've sung How Awesome is the Lord That We Serve. What will it be like to sing praise in the presence of Jesus? Can you imagine what it'll be like? The people that were there in Jerusalem, I've already got to do it. We missed the chance. But those folks knew what it was like. But as we look to the text today, we once again find the humanity of Jesus on full display. It's rare in scriptures, it's unique in scripture for Jesus to express a need or a desire, something that he wants, something that he requires in that moment. Certainly he dined with folks often. We have that record of that in many places. In fact, Jesus got in trouble for the people that he dined with a lot of times. And yet in this instance, he revealed his need in this moment. He reveals his thirst. Crucifixion was a dehydrating process. I want you to think about the past 24 hours of Jesus' life as he hangs there on the cross. That the evening before, after the Last Supper, and pause on the sermon, if you were here on Thursday, it was so great to celebrate the Passover meal and to find Christ in the symbolism of the Passover meal. So thanks, Mary Ellen, for putting that together. And if you were able to come, it was a great night. And we enjoyed that very much. But after that meal, they went out to the garden where he prayed. He prayed with such intensity that the scripture says he sweat drops of blood. Leading right to the arrest, the soldiers came to the garden with Judas, where he was arrested. He was immediately taken to trial that night. A couple different trials. He was jailed overnight, spent the night in the dungeon. There were trials the next day. There were floggings and there were beatings. And then he had to carry the cross. And then hung up in the air, in the dry and arid air of the Middle East, his body hung. crucifixion was a dehydrating process. Think about that moment and think about the state of his body as he hung there. I don't know what prisoner treatment was like in New Testament Jerusalem. I'm not sure they had human rights advocates that monitored Roman jail cells to say, I think he needs water. I think he needs to be taken care of. Pretty sure it was pretty crummy, pretty rotten, pretty awful. And then to endure and persevere through the floggings and the beatings, the human body would have been completely depleted by that point in the day as he hung from the cross. And the point here being, Jesus was thirsty. His body ached for water, for nutrition, for care. Again, Jesus is the human Jesus needed hydration and needed water in that moment. I never used to be much of a water drinker. I've always enjoyed a cold Coca-Cola. You know this by now. But water has been a growing habit. Water is like my Diet Coke, the kind of Coke that I like, that's good for me, right? Water is something I had to see the value in and then develop a taste for after I got into the habit. And now I really do. Ice cold water at any point in the day, at any moment, any season of the year. Water is a wonderful refreshment to our body. Google says that over half of our body, 55 to 60% of our body, I don't know if Google's right or not, but says that 55 to 60% of our body is water. I've heard a sound guy that was telling me about a room, and he says, you know, you fill this with bags of water and all the sound changes. And he was talking about us, that you fill us with people and a room's the way sound bounces in a room is different. Water's critical to life, right? We know that in the desert. We know that where we live, that drought is a scary word, and drought causes problems because water is critical to life. What's interesting is how the gospel writer couches this request for water. This is why some people wonder, well, was Jesus really thirsty? Well, the writer prefaces the request with this phrase. He says, in order to fulfill Scripture, Jesus said, I am thirsty. And as I studied for this week, I was led to the question, what does that mean? A lot of writers, a lot of commentators try to answer that question, and scholars aren't really sure. They're not positive. There's some likely candidates of what Jesus was talking about, or what the gospel writer was talking about as he recounted Jesus' request or his statement. This is, I'm in need of water. I'm thirsty in this moment. But there's several likely candidates that the writer might have been referencing. I get this from a writer named Carson. He points first to Psalm 22. Psalm 22 says, my mouth dries up like broken pottery and the tongue sticks to my mouth. Therefore, I need this refreshment. Psalm 42 and Psalm 46 or 63 both talk about my soul thirsts for the living God. Or you are my God, I earnestly seek you. I thirst for you in these moments. But most writers point to Psalm 69. It's the one that Brian read for us. The 21st verse says, you put gall in my food, you gave me vinegar for my thirst. And perhaps the gospel writer, as he's talking about Jesus, and potentially as he witnessed this crucifixion, although most of the men had fled. Most of the men, we don't have a lot of record of any men sticking around for the crucifixion. So perhaps this story had been related back to John before he wrote this gospel. And he said, do you remember? Do you remember that psalm, that song in our scriptures that talk? It says, you gave me vinegar for my thirst. Did they really have sour vinegar there? Is that really what happened? Here they're using the Psalms, the songs that Israel sang, as prophecy, as foretelling what would happen to Jesus. And we believe that the Psalms were written for Israel, for Israel's time. that there's a meaning and a purpose for the song that it wrote that just belongs to Israel. It was part of the songs that they sang. But here John is perhaps saying, writers are saying, perhaps this foretold this moment when Jesus would cry out in his need and in his desire to be quenched of his thirst. That song originally wasn't messianic at all, wasn't necessarily talking about the Messiah when he was crucified. And yet here we see links and connections from the Old Testament to the New of what happened to Jesus. As Jesus makes this statement, I am thirsty, we see the scurrying of soldiers to satisfy this request. Somebody says, well, we can afford this to him. We saw the same last week in the book of Mark. Remember, someone scurried around and got him something to drink. Someone ran. Someone found this vinegar wine, this cheap sour vinegar that would have been used by the soldiers. Why? Because they're out in a hot, dusty, arid climate in the middle of the day, crucifying three criminals. One of them soaked up some of this sour wine in an absorbent sponge, stuck it on a hyssop branch, and lifted it to his mouth. And at the conclusion of this effort, John's gospel states, he had received some of the drink, and after that, he says, it is finished, or it is completed. And we'll talk about that on Friday. And his life ended. Jesus' life, the one who was celebrated, the one who was paraded in the Sunday before, who they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who has come in the name of the Lord. He's finally here. We believe lots of Israel, lots of those who lined the streets, lots of those who were excited, believed that the freedom that Messiah would bring would be to kick out Rome. Finally, we'll be free of the oppression we have faced. And here, just a few days later, that which Jesus was supposed to eradicate, that which Jesus was supposed to be getting rid of, was overseeing his crucifixion. What's our application for today? How do we respond to this text today? I was caught a bit off guard by something I read in my study this week. Daniels writes in his commentary that Jesus' comments about being thirsty really do two things. The first is what we've already mentioned. It seems to fulfill something that was predicted, and that's what John's gospel tells us. That it comes to fulfill what has been seen now as a messianic prediction of needing to have his thirst quenched. But the second thing that he says it does is to lean into the regular themes that are carried and contained within the Gospel of John. We haven't been sticking with the Gospel of John, but John is a unique gospel. John is full of imagery. John is full of these thought-provoking metaphors. Jesus is called all sorts of things in the Gospel of John. He's called bread. He's called light. He's called the gate. He's called the shepherd. He's called life. He's called the path. He's called the grapevine. All these things Jesus is. These ideas and metaphors just kind of jump off the page and fill the pages of John's gospel. It's one of the reasons why John is so much different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is the imagery that John uses. But one of these images is Christ as the living water. Christ is the living water who was sacrificed on that cross and nailed up there after all that his body had been put through. Christ, the living water, cries out in the middle of the hot day, I am thirsty. In the commentary, he uses four examples. There's the water that was turned into wine in chapter 2. Again, this theme of living water he talks about in chapter 4 to the Samaritan woman. Remember when she says, what do you mean? There's water I can drink and I'll never go thirsty again. She says, give me some of that water. She didn't want to come back to the well every day in the middle of the hot day. To the crowd of 5,000, he says, you'll never go hungry or thirsty again in chapter 6. In chapter 7, he talks about rivers of living water that would spring up from within and flow out, speaking of the Holy Spirit that would come into our lives and provide this sense of abundance. And here at the end of the gospel, at the end of Jesus' life, it is Christ who comes thirsty. It is Christ, the very source, whose very identity earlier in this gospel had been identified as the living water, confessing his need at his most weak and most vulnerable moment of his life. He needed it in that moment. And he cried out for it. And today, even as we gather on Palm Sunday, even as we have branches to wave, and even as the church tends to be the place where we put ourselves together and we make sure the kids are dressed up nice and we drag ourselves to church and we say, remember, use your manners and be nice to your neighbors in the rows of chairs. Even on Sunday morning, I suspect that there are some of us, those of us who would cry out in the same way, oh God, I'm thirsty. Oh God, I'm thirsty today, that in the routines of life and the going to work and the getting the chores done and raising the kids and doing the dinners and going to school and paying the bills, managing the calendars, the loneliness of living alone, the fatigue of single parenting, the restless news cycle, relentless news cycle throwing fear and fear and a little more fear our way from all the notifications that come across our phone. As some of us in the room today know exactly what Christ is saying. I am thirsty today. Some of us come into service today with those words on our lips. I am thirsty. Those people whose lips contain those words before I even read them to you this morning. Many of us, we still love Jesus. Our lives have been changed by Jesus. We've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, just like Psalm 34 says, but we feel dry and we feel empty. The world in which we live today feels a lot like the valley of the dry bones that we read about in Ezekiel. We know where the valley of dry bones is. We feel it. It resides within us. That a fresh outpouring of the living water of Christ that springs forth from the very person that we honor and we worship and who was celebrated and paraded into Jerusalem so many Palm Sundays ago is exactly what we need this day. My friends, God is ready. God is able to answer that cry today, to fill us with that living water, to say, I'm here to meet exactly what your need is, that cry of I am thirsty will not go unanswered. If we cry out to the one who said it first, today in the presence of Jesus Christ, who was the first to utter those words, you can echo his words back to God, back to your loving Savior, and the answer will not ring hollow. Today you can receive just what you need to restore and refresh your soul, that valley of dry bones that you feel somewhere deep inside. can experience the very breath of the living God. This year, our focus has been waiting in Christ to wait. Can feel dry. To wait can feel dry. I pray today that if that is you today, that you won't leave until you have a sense of God's Spirit washing over you with the living water of Christ. Maybe today everybody else is going to get up and walk out. Don't leave. Don't leave without crying out to God, saying, that's me. I'm the one that's thirsty. I know what Christ was going through. And I don't want to leave today still feeling empty. Today, as we close our service, we're going to partake in communion, the Eucharist. The invitation is to receive the living water of Christ, and there is no more fitting invitation to receive than to come to the table of grace, to come and receive where we have extended to us the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what fills us. That's what brings us hope. That's the water that Jesus talked about to the Samaritan woman. This is, drink this water and you'll never go thirsty again. Words that are not meant to make us feel bad or broken or guilty when we feel dry, but meant to remind us the living water that Christ offers us comes in abundance. It doesn't run out. It doesn't go up and down with the seasons and based on the snowpack, and we don't have to worry about how high the reservoir is. God's abundant grace overflows every time. The very one who first said, I am thirsty, and the very one whom, he is the very one to whom we can echo those same words. Jesus Christ, I am thirsty, knowing full well that reservoir of living water that pours out from him will never run dry. Amen. We celebrate and we praise together today that truth. As we close the service today, we're going to sing one last song. I'm going to ask the praise team to come join me on stage. As we close, and also those who are prepared to serve communion, as we close, Pastor Debbie is going to come and lead us through the sacrament of communion.
It was just a few nights before Jesus was hanging on the cross and gave those words when he sat with his disciples. And he gave them the feast of a new creation to come. And as Jesus had been betrayed earlier that day before he sat with his disciples, he wanted them to have a continual hope of restoration, and to remember that they were still a part of the work of Christ. And we today are still a part of the work of Christ. For as the Holy Spirit now breathes into the church is to breathe out with the Spirit to continue the work. For as we heard this morning, if we are thirsty, come to the table to receive the gift. As we prepare the elements as a reminder, and for those of you who are new, you can come, choose to come forward, come with your hands opened and cupped to receive the gift of Jesus, not to take, but to receive it. And your server will say, this is the body of Christ broken for you. And you may dip the piece of bread into the cup. Your server will say, this is the blood of Christ poured out to you. You may return to your seat. Those of you who would like to take one single element, there are little cups if you would prefer to take it that way. You can take one of those and return to your seat. say, this is the body and blood of Christ shed for me. So this time, as Jesus sat at that table with his disciples, he took the bread and he gave thanks to you, and he broke the bread. Then he gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to you. And he gave it to his disciples and said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for so many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, pour on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be before the world redeemed by your blood. By your Spirit, make us one with you, one with each other, and one in ministry, till Christ comes in victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, all honor and glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The table has been set. Come, receive, and dine with him.
Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, today we join in both moments, the moment of celebrating you and waving palm branches and saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes. But we join you also in the moment of your greatest need, of revealing, I am thirsty, God. For we know that even in our rejoicing and in our praising, there are moments in which we find ourselves there, broken, bruised, spent, unable to have a sense of what is the next step, and even how do we take it, needing an infilling of your Holy Spirit in that moment to pour out into us the living water, the water that does not run dry. And we praise and worship you on this Palm Sunday, knowing that your grace lives in abundance, that it doesn't run out, that it doesn't run dry. Today we worship you in that spirit and in that truth, God. Be with those in this room even today who know the reality of those words. Lord, I'm thirsty. And would you pour yourself out in abundance as only you can? We pray in Christ's names. Amen. Amen. I invite you, those who are willing and able, to please stand with us and join in this benediction prayer. We have this tradition of extending our hands to remind us that we receive this benediction prayer today. May the words of Christ upon the cross become for us a prayer. And may we celebrate this Palm Sunday our Savior, who is the very answer to that prayer through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. Amen. Go in the love of Christ.
Thanks for joining us today on the Mountain Home Church The Nazarene podcast. Don't forget to visit us at mhnazarene.org/connect if you'd like to connect with us, and have a great week.